What's up, Sixers fans? This is the Sixers Talk Podcast presented to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works. I'm Ben Berry. I'm joined by the one, the only, the great Noah Levick. Noah, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining the pod. You know, we kicked Danny to the curve. He's enjoying the sunshine here in Philadelphia today. So it's just you and me kicking it, and we'll start off with the Sixers. Don't want to call it a big win, but it was a satisfying win to finish off a three-game road trip, 135-115 over the Houston Rockets. It brings them closer to that one seed in the East after the Nets, you know, not struggles, but falters again recently. What was your takeaways from the game last night?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was another where any result besides the Sixers winning would have been a big surprise. The Rockets dressed 8 players, but DJ Augustine had an ankle sprain and was not healthy enough to play. And then they also lost Kevin Porter Jr. to an ankle injury in the third quarter. And Houston, as far as guarding Joel Embiid, Kelly Olynyk was literally the team's only option. But credit to the Sixers for, again, taking advantage of the situation. I thought it was funny before the game, Doc Rivers was not sympathetic. He was asked, about playing in these sort of circumstances and whether it's at all disappointing not to see the other team's best players. And he said, look, I don't think, you know, Denver was feeling sorry for us back in January, when, you know, in that situation where the Sixers only had 7 healthy guys. So, yeah, Joel Embiid looked very good, in those circumstances, 34 points, I believe 12 boards, passed well out of double teams, which is something he's said he's been focusing on. And I think you can see he's reading the floor really well. He sees the skip pass, but he's not always making it. You know, he's generally taking the safest, best option for the Sixers and probably could have had, you know, 6 or 7 assists last night if guys had made more open threes off his passes. So I think that was a big positive for the Sixers. And then the bench being able to seal the deal a little better than they had in the past 2 games was another good thing. Shake Milton did some nice stuff in his first stint. I believe he had 12 points and was pretty aggressive looking for his own shot. Tyrese Maxey stepped in for Furkan Korkmaz, knocked down a couple threes, again, looked, you know, sharp and quick and aggressive with his drives to the rim. So I think those are positives too. Again, not a game where you can extract a ton from because the Sixers were playing a low level of competition for an NBA game, but they pick up another win. They're 6 straight, and they've really got a stranglehold on this number one seed now, 2 up. And their magic number is 4. So I think we're most definitely in a situation where anything besides them ending up at number one would qualify as a pretty serious disappointment. But they're streaking, they're playing pretty good basketball overall. And at this point, you would absolutely expect them to secure the number one seed, which would be a really big deal.
Yeah, Bede was 34-12, like good game. And it's not to take anything away from the Sixers. Rockets are a low team. They had 7 players dressed, and Kelly Olynyk is too small for Embiid. So the Sixers did what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to win. They were supposed to win in big fashion. I don't think there's a big overarching narrative that anyone should or can take away from this game. Just be happy the Sixers came out with a win. One of the big things that stuck out to me was Ben Simmons. He started off, came out the gates, scoring hot and heavy, 10 points in the first quarter. I know he only had 3 assists for the game, but he pushed the pace and he made his presence known. And a lot has been made about the jump shot. And me and Danny have talked about it on the pod. It's not as much as jump shot as just playing aggressive and not just going with the flow and standing out there on offense. So when playoffs come around, when half-court offense becomes more of a thing, it was nice to see him be aggressive. It's something I would love to see him continue to do once the postseason starts.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a great point. I think he was absolutely right to push the pace against an undermanned team like that, really putting the pressure on Houston early. It's funny, it seems like whenever the Ben Simmons jump shot topic just kind of completely fades from discussion, it gets resurrected. And he took and made a couple that looked pretty good in the first quarter of that game. Doc Rivers, as he has, whenever it's been brought up to him, basically said, you know, that's something other people can talk about if they want. He's most concerned with Simmons just playing his game and doesn't really see his shot selection as something that he should be too worried about. So yeah, I'd be surprised right now if mid-range jump shots were a big part of Ben Simmons' arsenal in the playoffs, but really just him playing confidently and not being hesitant with his decision-making is a good thing overall. Where the jump shot factors into that, if at all, we shall see. But yeah, definitely playing at that fast tempo, something that's really important for him to do and just for the Sixers as a team. Like, they're at their best, clearly, when Simmons is pushing the pace and is allowing them to score in transition and just putting less pressure on the half-court offense. So, yeah, competition not great, but still something nice to see from Ben Simmons there.
You brought up Shake Milton earlier, and it's nice to see him get in his groove last night, make some big shots. I think the most important thing for him has been having George Hill come in, and because before in the second unit, it seemed the only people that Doc trusted to carry the ball handling duties was him and Furkan. And as good as Shake is, a very talented young player, having him initiate the offense is a little unfair because he's just not that great at it. It's too much on his plate, I feel. So having George Hill here and take some of those responsibilities off, it's allowed Shake to be more of a combo guard and either shoot, drive, penetrate, not have to worry about facilitating and setting other guys up. So I was very happy to see that last night.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, played pretty simple basketball, which is where he's at his best. Just if he thinks he has an advantage, you know, immediately attacking that. If he's open, shooting it. In the big picture, the fact that he's, you know, well over 40% from three-point range since the All-Star break is certainly, you know, a nice statistic there for the Sixers. You know, I think anyone who's watched or followed Shake Milton kind of understood that him being in the low 30s with the three-point percentage as he was early in the season was really an aberration. This is a pure jump shooter, someone who was, I believe, around 43%, you know, over his college career. So now that he's kind of back at his norm, I think that's certainly nice for the Sixers and something they'll hope carries over to the playoffs.
Yeah. Tyrese Maxey got on the court last night, been playing phenomenal. And I think he's in the Sixers' long-term plans. With all that being said, and this past offseason, and this front office and Doc Rivers just stressing building a team around Ben and Joel, putting shooters around him. Tyrese Maxey isn't the best of shooters. I believe his pre-All-Star break and post-All-Star break percentage from deep is the same, around 27%. Do you think the Sixers can make him an effective shooter long term, or is he just the player he is? And if he stays with the Sixers, they'll have to think about that moving forward.
I believe that he's going to shoot better from 3-point range next season. I'm not sure that I foresee him making a dramatic leap where he's up all of a sudden above league average, but I think firstly he's a very hard worker, and I think that has to work in his favor. Secondly, you'd figure the experience he's gained this year, understanding how to come in cold off a bench and be ready to shoot, and also just where his shots are going to come from, that will most likely help him. And then I just think you look at the jump shot, there's nothing egregiously wrong with the form. You look at his free throw shooting. He's a good free throw shooter who, you know, seems to have soft touch and, again, solid form in the way he shoots the ball. So to me, those all indicate that he's better than the numbers. But to be fair, he was, I believe, around 29% in college, and it's similar so far this season. So there is a bit of a sample size here. But my expectation is that he becomes a little better. It's certainly important for him, but I think just that he's still able to penetrate so well with opponents going under screens and understanding that he's not a great shooter is encouraging and maybe puts a little less pressure on him to, again, make this, you know, dramatic leap as a shooter. I think just continue to improve, continue to work in the gym on some of the fine details, and then also just continue to have confidence. And he should have faith that he'll continue to make strides, I think, in that area.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Start college, build skills, and complete your degree with Wilmington University. 100% online options and affordable tuition make WilmU work for you. Learn more at WilmU.edu.
Noah, let's take a look at our friends over at PointsBet. They have the Coach of the Year odds with our very own Doc Rivers sitting fourth at plus 2,500. Above him is Monty Williams, Thibs, Quinn Snyder. What do you think of when you saw these odds?
Yeah, that seemed pretty reasonable to me. I think Monty Williams is a deserved favorite. I think the Suns are the surprise of the season in the NBA, and all those other coaches are leading teams that have great stories as well. I think with the Sixers and Doc Rivers, though he's clearly done a nice job of getting a lot out of Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris in particular, I think folks recognize that roster construction was a huge issue for the Sixers last season, and this team's roster better complements the stars this year, and that has a lot to do with the Sixers being improved from last season.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
No, I saw it, and even though I agree with Doc being fourth, Monty definitely being one, and Tibbs made the Knicks relevant for the first time, it seems like, in my entire adult life. Noah, one of the most exciting players in the league, Ja Morant, he said he's a top five point guard in the league, hands down. Do you agree with that, yes or no?
Probably not. Probably not right now. And I love him, love watching him, but seems like he's not quite in that top five sort of tier quite yet. But maybe he will become in that group soon.
So I didn't have him as top five. I definitely think he's top 10. But when he said that, it made me start thinking, who's in my top five? And that brought us to the point, where exactly does Ben Simmons fall in this? You have Dame Lillard, you have Steph Curry, Chris Paul, who is arguably an MVP candidate this year, Russell Westbrook, our very own Ben Simmons. Like, so it makes you think, where do you rank these guys? Is Ben Simmons in your top five? Is he not? He's a phenomenal player. The jump shot or the offense isn't what a lot of people would like it to be, but he is an all-defensive NBA player, arguably the defensive player of the year. He opens up so much for the Sixers when he's in the lineup. It's hard to say exactly where he is, but where would you rank him?
Yeah, I think just to preface it, like, it's even just labeling him as a point guard, it's something that he personally probably wouldn't agree with. You know, he doesn't really care about the position labels, and he does, to be fair, play this hybrid role for the Sixers. Like, a lot of the other guys we're discussing are not used regularly as screeners and rollers and are not capable of guarding, you know, really one through five the way Ben Simmons is. So I think that's a tick in his favor, or just something to consider with this discussion, that he has non-point guard talents in ways that he's used outside of some of these other players. But yeah, I wrote down a bunch of names for me. I think you hit on a lot of the tier one guys, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic. To me, those are probably the guys in the elite tier. And then I think, to me, Ben Simmons is a tier below that, with a group that would include like Drew Holiday, Jamal Murray, De'Aaron Fox, Ja Morant, Trae Young, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kyle Lowry, maybe Russell Westbrook, if that's your taste, maybe Lonzo Ball, if you like his game. So it's a pretty large group there of maybe seven or eight guys, to me, who are just a tick below that elite group. And I think Ben Simmons is among that kind of second tier and probably near the top of it, in my personal opinion. But yeah, as far as him being a top five point guard, and as far as Ja Morant being a top five point guard, I would lead toward no on both. I think Ben is, you know, a superior player to Ja, but I think I'd probably put both of them in that very general second tier of just below, you know, the cream of the crop with NBA point guards.
No. As I stated earlier, as I was listing off names, it occurred to me that I forgot the Kyrie Irvings and Luka Doncic, which I'm going to come back to Luka. James Harden, I know he's played point guard, and I thought of more as a traditional shooting guard, but his MVP year, he was a point guard. Like, he's very, very versatile offensive player. Luka, he's more of a point forward, and he does some phenomenal things. He's not the defender that Ben is, and a lot of people overlook that Luka isn't the greatest shooter, even though a lot of media personalities awarded him like the MVP before the year started, but that's besides the point. What you saying about Ben not seeing himself, like, he does many things, and he's just not a point guard. He can guard one through five. He does some amazing things on the floor. I would agree with you that he's probably in that second tier for me. He's probably between like six and eight. But it's, I think from this overall discussion, what we learned is the NBA is right now is really stacked with some talented point guard play. And it's so fun to watch any given night, whether it's a good team, bad team, whether you're getting a Kyrie Irving or De'Aaron Fox, whether you're getting a Drew Holiday or Trae Young, you get a Ben Simmons or Chris Paul. Like, the league right now is stacked with good point guards, veterans as well as young guys. So it'll be fun to watch for the upcoming years.
Yeah, that was my main takeaway too, thinking about this. You can probably name 15 point guards in the NBA who are very good players. And to me, it shouldn't be viewed as a slight or an insult or an insinuation that someone is not a high-level player to say they're not a top five point guard in the NBA right now. I mean, look, Ben Simmons was All-NBA third team last year, and that was, I think, a reasonable pick. It would seem that he might be on the outside looking in this season just because the, you know, counting stat offensive numbers have dropped, even though he's elevated his game a little more defensively. But yeah, super deep league for point guards. And it's a fascinating season too, because arguably the top two MVP candidates in Jokic and Embiid are big men. So you have really strong players on kind of both ends of the positional spectrum, which makes it a cool time to follow the league.
Noah, before we get out of here, you're doing some great stuff at NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. What are you working on over at the website?
Yeah, so just off last night's game, we had, as usual, our three observations, touching on some of the things we talked about, also a little bit on Danny Green and his off-ball movement. Then also going to be working on something, just kind of looking at Joel Embiid's comments about why he thinks the Sixers have been better this season on the road, diving a little more into those and some of the reasons behind their improvement in that area.
Oh, sounds good. Everyone, check that out, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. One, only, the great Noah Levitt. You follow him on Twitter, at Noah Levitt. Noah, you want to say anything before we get out of here?
I think you covered it all. Thank you.
Covered it all. Hey, thanks for joining us. This was the Sixers Talk Podcast presented to you by Wilmington University. That's Noah Levick. I'm Ben Berry. Thanks for listening.